Welcome to the ASHP Official Podcast, your guide to issues related to medication use, public health, and the profession of pharmacy.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of Clinical Conversations from ASHP Official. This podcast includes discussions about therapeutics, best practices, emerging therapies, case studies, and other topics that the clinical pharmacist will find important in practice. My name is Patria Kober, and I'm a professor of pharmacy practice at Northeast Ohio Medical University. I'll be your host today for today's episode. With me today are Mukti Patel from the University of Chicago and Morgan King from Cleveland Clinic Fairview. Thank you for joining us today, Dr. Patel and Dr. King. Let's get into today's topic about the new RSV vaccines. So, why is it important to get the RSV vaccine in older adults, and who should get it?
So in United States, respiratory syncytial virus, or RSV, is causing seasonal epidemics of respiratory illness that leads to substantial morbidity and mortality in older adults, which includes lower respiratory tract disease, hospitalizations, and death. Annually, we're seeing about 60,000 to 160,000 hospitalizations and 6,000 to 10,000 deaths occurring amongst older adults. Due to this, the Advisory Committee on Immunization Practices is now recommending that adults who are 60 years of age and older may receive a single dose of RSV vaccine using the shared clinical decision-making between the healthcare provider and the patient. Now, this shared clinical decision-making should be guided by the patient's risk for disease, characteristics, values, and preferences, along with the provider's clinical discretion. Certain chronic medical conditions that would put patient at higher risk includes chronic obstructive pulmonary disease, asthma, congestive heart failure, coronary artery disease, cerebrovascular disease, diabetes, liver disorders, hematologic disorders, neurologic or neuromuscular conditions, chronic kidney disease, and moderate to severe immunocompromised. Also, advanced age, frailty, and residence in long-term care facilities can all increase the risk, which should be considered for our adults. And because older adults seem to have at least one or more of these risk factors, there are now two RSV vaccines which were approved in May of 2023. This includes the Arexvy by GSK and Abrysvo by Pfizer for older adults.
Great. Dr. Patel, you mentioned two different vaccines that are approved for adult patients. So I have a mother that's definitely in this category. Is there one vaccine that's preferred over the other?
That's a great question. So the efficacy evidence for both vaccines come from randomized double-blind phase 3 placebo-controlled trials. The clinical trial specifically for GSK Arexvy vaccine showed that a single dose of vaccine is reducing the symptomatic RSV lower respiratory tract disease by 82.6% during the first RSV season and by 56.1% during the second RSV season. Similarly, also the Pfizer Abrysvo vaccine trial reduce the RSV lower respiratory tract disease illness by 88.9% during the first season and 78.6% during the second season. In both these trials, as you can see by the numbers, statistically significant efficacy against the RSV lower respiratory tract disease was seen in participant subgroups, which included adults 70 years and older with and without at least one of the chronic medical conditions that I mentioned before. But because there weren't enough enrollees who were 80 years and older for these trials, they were underpowered to demonstrate efficacy for this age group. Another factor to keep in mind is that participant frailty was not assessed in the Pfizer vaccine Abrysvo trial, and the GSK vaccine Arexvy trial was underpowered for the same subgroup. Overall, the data from the studies have demonstrated that a single dose of either the GSK or Pfizer RSV vaccines have moderate to high efficacy in preventing the symptomatic RSV-associated lower respiratory tract disease over two consecutive RSV seasons in adults who are aged 60 years and older, with no preference given to one vaccine over the other. So it eventually boils down to which vaccine your pharmacy has.
Great, Dr. Patel. Can you tell us about the timing of the RSV vaccine in older patients and if it can be administered with other vaccines at the same time?
Yeah, so currently the RSV vaccine is approved and it's recommended for administration as a single dose, and it has shown to provide some protection for at least 2 seasons of RSV, just like the trials showed. The studies are still ongoing to determine whether older adults might benefit from receiving additional RSV vaccines in the future. So hopefully we'll have the results of that. Optimally, patients should get the vaccine between September to January, but the typical RSV season was disrupted by the COVID-19 pandemic, and it has not yet returned entirely to the pre-pandemic patterns. Hence, for the 2023 to 2024 season, it should be offered year-round to eligible adults who are unvaccinated. And with that being said, patients should delay the vaccination if they are experiencing any moderate or severe acute illness with or without fever until it's fully resolved. When it comes to co-administration with other adult vaccines, which include COVID-19 vaccine, influenza vaccine, pneumococcal vaccine, Tdap vaccine, and the recombinant zoster vaccine, it is acceptable, but the data on its safety and immunogenicity of RSV and other vaccine co-administration is limited. Data is only available for the co-administration of the RSV and influenza vaccine, and it has met non-inferiority criteria for the immunogenicity. But one thing to keep in mind with that is that antibody titers were generally lower with their administration on the same day compared with different day, but its clinical significance is still unknown. If vaccines are not administered the same day, there is no required interval between the vaccines.
Excellent. So Dr. Patel, what are the safety concerns or any potential side effects which are associated with the RSV vaccine in older adults?
The most common adverse effects include pain at the injection site, fatigue, and headache, just like all of the other vaccines. In clinical trials, GSK and Pfizer RSV vaccine led to higher incidence of atrial fibrillation within 30 days after injection, which is 10 participants with vaccine compared to 4 participants in placebo for both trials. Also, the inflammatory neurological events occurred in 3 of 17,922 participants with the GSK vaccine, as compared to 3 of the participants within the 20,255 patients with the Pfizer RSV vaccine. The GSK RSV vaccine included 1 case of Guillain-Barré syndrome and 2 cases of acute disseminated encephalomyelitis. The 2 cases specifically were caused for the acute disseminated encephalomyelitis in participants who were also concomitantly receiving the standard dose seasonal influenza vaccine. When we look at the Pfizer vaccine cases, it included 1 case of the Guillain-Barré syndrome, 1 case of the Miller-Fisher syndrome, and 1 case of undifferentiated motor sensory axonal polyneuropathy. Since the numbers of the inflammatory neurological events and atrial fibrillation events in the clinical trials were small, it is not known whether these events were directly related to the vaccine. Due to this, vaccine safety surveillance and post-marketing safety studies are currently being conducted by both manufacturers, and that should help us assess the risk of such adverse effects. And just like any other vaccine, RSV vaccine are contraindicated, and it should not be administered to any individual with a history of severe allergic reaction, such as anaphylaxis, to any component of the vaccine.
Thank you, Dr. Patel, for telling us about the use of the RSV vaccine in adults. Now shifting gears, Dr. King, why is it important to get the RSV vaccine during pregnancy?
So when we think about RSV in adults, it usually presents as mild cold symptoms, but for infants, it can actually be a pretty severe illness. So it's estimated that 58,000 to 80,000 children under the age of 5 are hospitalized annually due to RSV. And most of these patients are infants that are younger than 6 months of age. It's also estimated that there are between 100 and 300 deaths annually in the United States in children who are younger than 5 years old due to RSV. So all of that to say, the RSV vaccine is recommended for pregnant patients, not necessarily to protect mom, but really to protect the infant. In the studies that were done by Pfizer, pregnant patients between 24 and 36 weeks gestation received Abrysvo, the maternal RSV vaccine. And these studies evaluated the efficacy of the vaccine among infants from birth through 180 days of life. These studies showed efficacy against medically attended RSV-associated infection in 51.3% of the total trial population, meaning all infants born to moms who received the vaccine between 24 and 36 weeks, and efficacy against medically attended RSV-associated infection in 57.3% of infants born to moms who received the vaccine in the approved dosing interval of 32 to 36 weeks gestation.
Thank you, Dr. King. I noticed that you mentioned the data for Abrysvo, but what about the other RSV vaccine, Arexvy? Is Arexvy recommended for pregnant patients?
Yeah, so Arexvy was studied in pregnancy. However, the trial was terminated in February of 2022 because it was demonstrated that the vaccine administration in pregnant patients was related to a small increase in preterm births. Specifically, the rate of preterm births was 6.81% for pregnant patients receiving the vaccine compared to 4.95% for pregnant patients receiving placebo. Just to note, the data for Abrysvo in pregnancy did also show an increase in preterm births in patients who received the vaccine over placebo, but the difference, 5.7% in the vaccine recipients compared to 4.7% in the placebo recipients, was not statistically significant. To mitigate the risk of preterm birth, ACIP actually recommends the vaccine be administered between 32 and 36 weeks gestation for that reason.
Thank you, Dr. King, for that distinction. Aside from the theoretical risk of preterm birth, what other adverse effects exist with the RSV vaccine in pregnant patients?
Yeah, that's a good question. So the most common adverse effects are similar to any other vaccine. So injection site pain, muscle pain, headache, and nausea. While there were cases of atrial fibrillation and Guillain-Barré syndrome in adults who were 60 years and older who received the vaccine, there were no cases of any of these diseases or other inflammatory neurological events that were reported in pregnant patients. As it relates to pregnancy, there was an observed increased risk of hypertensive disorders, including preeclampsia, in those patients who received the vaccine. Although similar to the preterm birth risk that was mentioned previously, this was not statistically significant. So preeclampsia specifically occurred in 1.8% of vaccine recipients compared to 1.4% of placebo recipients. There were also a couple of adverse effects that were seen in the infant that were not statistically significant. So infants who were born to moms who received the vaccine tended to have a lower birth weight of 5.5 pounds or less compared to moms who received the placebo. And then additionally, neonatal jaundice was seen in more infants born to those moms who received the vaccine compared to those who received placebo. But again, neither of these were statistically significant.
Great. Can you also tell us about the timing of the RSV vaccine in pregnant patients?
Yeah, so as I previously mentioned, because of that theoretical risk of preterm birth, ACIP is recommending that the vaccine be given as early as 32 weeks up to 36 weeks and 6 days gestation. The vaccine's not recommended beyond that gestational age because it's unlikely that mom will stay pregnant for the 14-day window that it takes to produce enough antibodies to cross the placenta to protect the infant. If mom does not receive the RSV vaccine in that 32 to 36 weeks gestational age window, it's recommended that the infant receive the RSV monoclonal antibody nirsevimab. It's also currently recommended to give the vaccine in the months of September through January, which is, as previously mentioned, what we kind of consider RSV season, in order to provide protection for the infant for up to 6 months after birth. However, RSV season can vary depending on which part of the United States you're in. So these recommendations may differ based on your area. Ideally, maternal vaccination will occur 1 to 2 months prior to the start of RSV season and then continue through 2 to 3 months before the anticipated end of RSV season. With regards to administration of other vaccines, Abrysvo can be given at the same time as the Tdap vaccine, which is recommended in pregnancy, the influenza vaccine, and the COVID vaccine, all without regards to timing.
Thanks so much, Dr. King. You also mentioned that infants of patients who do not receive Abrysvo should receive nirsevimab. Is there a preference, maternal vaccine versus nirsevimab, to prevent RSV disease in the infant?
That's a great question. So as it stands right now, there's no studies that directly compare maternal vaccination with nirsevimab. Since both products have been shown to provide protection against RSV infection in infants, there's not really a preference for one product over the other. most infants will not need protection from both products. So the CDC currently recommends either one or the other. It's also recommended that healthcare providers educate pregnant patients about both the RSV vaccine and nirsevimab, and that patient preferences be considered when deciding on if mom should receive the vaccine during pregnancy or if baby should receive nirsevimab after birth.
I want to thank both of our speakers today, Dr. Patel and Dr. King, for joining us for today's episode of Clinical Conversations. If you haven't before, I encourage you all to check out ASHP's pediatric resources. You can find member-exclusive offerings in the Pediatric Resource Center, including offerings such as disease-specific articles and guidelines, webinars, and links for education and training. Thanks again for tuning in, and be sure to subscribe to the ASHP podcast through your favorite podcast provider.
Thank you for listening to ASHP Official, the voice of pharmacists advancing healthcare. Be sure to visit ashp.org/podcast to discover more great episodes, access show notes, and download the episode transcript. If you loved the episode and want to hear more, be sure to subscribe, rate, or leave a review. Join us next time on ASHP Official.